Welcome to another PI World podcast. This is an audio-only version offered as another way to enjoy our great content. A full video version can be seen on piworld.co.uk, where you can find many more videos of interest to investors.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you very much for coming. Let me just introduce myself and then a bit of the company. I'm Jose. I have been in this business for roughly 25 years. I founded the company in year 2000, 19 years ago. So we're going to turn 20 next year. Will be very exciting. I'm an engineer by training, but unfortunately I left the engineering part of my day-to-day a while ago. I'm mostly now in the sales and finance part of that, but I'm still having an engineer heart. I happen to be also the chairman of the Spanish Association for Interactive Television. It's basically the one that is regulating everything related to smart TVs and all this kind of stuff in Spain. Okay. So about the company, we are a software company. Okay, we don't sell any hardware. What we sell is software for pay TV players. What's a pay TV player? Pay TV player could be a Sky in the UK, or Virgin Media, or part of Liberty, BT Vision. So we work globally. We have presence, active presence and customers in three continents now, in the Americas, in Europe, and in Asia. And we have been working in this field for a long time, so we have a lot of experience and a lot of references. The company actually started from a professional services perspective. It was doing consultancy and software for digital TV in general, so we have had more than 50 customers so far. But at some point, it was roughly 2012, started to think that it was worth it investing in having a solution prepared for customers, and they would benefit from the time to market. They would pay a bit more, and you could actually take some profit from their subscribers participating in their business. So we decided to build a product. We call it Inspire, and Iris is the backend solution. Inspire is the user experience, and it's a product that allows you to consume the content properly. You will see that, and we have a booth. We have a real demo. You can play with that there in the back. Okay, so whenever you want. Talking about our market, basically these are the three main areas of the world in terms of growth of the pay TV. The compound growth or from 17 to 20 is roughly 20% in Latin America, 18% in Southeast Asia, and 9% in Eastern Europe. These are the areas of the world in which we are focusing to be able to address our market. Actually, these are our offices. This is the presence for us. So we have a big technology center in Spain. The company is about 150 people now. We have another development center in Devon, in Exeter. Offices, financial offices here and in Madrid. And we have commercial people in South America, in Latin America, in North America, in Mexico, and in Singapore. In Mexico, we have actually a support team, so it's also a technology office now. Our biggest customer is in Mexico at the moment. So we started, obviously, in Spain and the UK. This is a UK company, it's a British company. Most of the management is based in Spain, but we are basically based in airplanes because we are always flying. Okay. So we started selling a lot in Latin America for natural reasons. Language helps a lot. And we gained our main reference in Mexico 5 years ago. We started working with a big customer there, the largest Hispanic-speaking customer in the world, that is Televisa Group. Some of you probably heard of that, the Televisa Group. They have a brand for pay TV that is called Easy. So Easy is our largest customer so far. This was the highest and most relevant reference that we could gain for our product. And we have been building over this reference since then. What do we do? Basically, our products look like this. This is our user experience. So why is this any different to what you have seen before? Basically, it's the return on investment. It's how much consumption of the content our customers get through this experience, through this user experience. So let me just give you data, a hint. We started with this product in Monterrey, in the north of Mexico, replacing a legacy solution built by Microsoft in year 2016. Okay, in the In that year, there were about 800,000 boxes with software from Microsoft in the field. When we reached the point of 150,000 boxes with our solution, so replacing just a fraction of the 800,000, our solution produced more content consumption in video on demand than the Microsoft solution. This means that, obviously, they multiplied probably by 3 or by 4 the video on demand consumption, and it was the same catalog, exactly the same content. It's just how you present the content to customers. You need to be straightforward. You need to show what you are looking for very, very quickly. And what we can tell our customers, and we can demonstrate that, is that our solution has a higher revenue per user than our competitors. So, as you can see, the solution is working on set-top boxes, it's working on smartphones, it's working on smart TVs, now it's working also on gaming consoles. Okay. If you don't want to have the set-top box in your household, we have an over-the-top platform that's basically you can consume our content in the way, basically on your commuting or in your laptop or when you are in your beach house or whatever. The market has suffered a transition from the traditional way of consuming content, is basically your main TV in your living room, to whenever you want, whatever you want. It's basically every time, everywhere. Okay, we were prepared for that. We have been heavily investing on this, and we gained our first customer on the OTT solution with Televisa Group. I'm going to tell you a bit more about that later. But Televisa decided to use our over-the-top platform for the World Cup, and they decided to trust in our solution. So this is our biggest reference so far in terms of the usage of the over-the-top platform. To gain advantage of all the information that you generate, you need to collect all of that, and you need to manage this properly. So we have an intelligence tool, this analytics tool that is called Logic. What do we do with that? Well, we know every time you navigate through the solution or you consume a piece of content, we know who did that, when did that, and what process did he follow to get to that content. So we can, in real time, tweak, modify the solution, do an A/B testing, and check if what we are doing is right or not, so we can improve the solution in real time. So our customers have this information. We have this information. This can be used also for advertising purposes. Okay, we haven't released anything yet. We haven't explored this in the real market yet, but this is a potential for growth for the platform also. And the solution can be also adapted to a specific public audiences, like Mirada Kids, that is a version of our product that is basically designed for children. And we have another solution for football fans. We call these aficionados. That's basically to go over the matches, etc. So instead of showing you lots of screenshots of the product, or allowing you, if you want to come to our stand to check it, we have a small video. This is our experience. We have been in this market for a very long time. Actually, we have quite good names in our list of customers. Some of them, we have been working with them from a long time ago on a professional services basis. Like, for example, with Movistar, that is the Telefonica group. We had a few engineers working in their facilities since year 2004, and they are still there working. Obviously, we replace them from time to time. But this means that we have a lot of stickiness with our customers. Obviously, we started as a very small company. We have very good references. We have something that we like to share always when we talk to people that don't know us. We have not lost any single customer in 19 years. No one said, okay, I don't like what you do. I'm going to replace you with this competitor product. This never happened. Okay, and this This is probably because of the background that we have in engineering. We love performance. We love delivering. And our customers love that. So in this field, it's a very, very important asset because they want someone they can rely on. Once we start working with a customer, we become their partners. Okay? So this actually speaks for us. This is one of our partners. They provide remote controls. And this is actually the VP marketing of our largest customer. So they believe that this is the most advanced solution in the region. And we are competing against very big people, people like Huawei, or people like Cisco, or people like Motorola. Okay? Why did we win a customer like Easy, like Televisa, against all these monsters, these big companies? Well, first of all, I like this physics formula, this pressure, this force divided by area, divided by surface. We are not very strong, okay? We are a small company, but we are extremely focused. Our surface is so tiny that the pressure that we produce in the market is extremely high. So we know what we do, and we are able to compete on that, okay? And we are known for that. The second thing is that when Easy decided to renew their interface, they wanted to have a good solution. They were looking for other references in the market. And actually, we had another two deployments in the Mexican market by the time Easy selected us. It were small deployments, not as advanced as the one that Easy wanted to have, but they were actually better in terms of user experience than the ones that our competitors were providing. So at the end of the day, you are a company that is completely focused, a company that has a lot of expertise, very good references in the market, that is trustful. Okay, this company was small, but we decided to select it to do the solution, and then we delivered. No one believed that we were able to going to deliver at that scale. That was basically a changing moment for us, because if we were able to do this Mexican project in 2014, 2015, 2016, our competitors would not have any word against us. This company is a small company, but with a very good product, and they were able to deliver at a massive scale. Okay, so this shows us basically the story of the company from the moment that we were able to deliver in the product business to now. We launched commercially in Easy in August 2016 with no set of boxes. Easy has 4.5 million subscribers. That means that roughly they have 8 million boxes that we can replace. The average price per box that we sell in this market is $3 to $5 per box in a license model. We will talk about the business model later, but we sell licenses. Okay, so every single new set of box they deliver to a customer, we get $3 to $5, depending on the set of box. Okay, so far, we have launched 2 million set of boxes on Easy. Okay, in roughly 2 years and a half. In the last year, actually, it was 1 million. So it's speeding up. Why is that? Well, they started in the top tier. They started in the high-income customers. And they have increasingly put in our software in other tiers, medium-tier customers, etc. So now, this is the only solution that they are marketing. They are putting in households. So far, we have covered roughly 25% of the boxes that Easy has. Our aim is to cover the 100% of the boxes of Easy. How long will it take? It could take a few years. But this is a very good source of income for us. We will see that later in the revenues, how this is actually providing us with a very good source of revenue. After launching Easy, we were able to prove that this was a good solution for big customers, and we won AT&I. AT&I is a Nasdaq-listed company. They are based in Atlanta, in the United States, and they have properties, they have assets across the Caribbean. So we signed the contract with them to launch our solution in different Caribbean countries, and we started with Bermuda. We delivered Bermuda, and we launched Bermuda very, very recently, at the beginning of this year. Okay. After that, we won Digital, that is a Bolivian high-tech company, again, for our solution. And very recently, we announced a contract with SkyTel. that is our first customer in Asia, actually, is in Mongolia. Okay, you can say, okay, how this company based in the UK and Spain is selling things in Mongolia, selling things in Mexico, selling things in Caribbean. We sell software. Basically, we don't need to send 1,000 engineers to Mongolia to do things. We just visit them. We have some training sessions, but most of the work is done from our own facilities. Even all the management of the network, etc. The software flies very, very well. Okay, so you can manage that. You need to have some local support. Local means having someone in the Philippines or having someone in Mexico, basically to save some money in terms of the 24/7 support that you give. But it's few people, so it's very, very cost effective. What now? Well, basically, our aim is to continue at this level to win 2, perhaps 3 customers a year, because this is a very, very good recurrent business model. Once you launch a customer, that takes time. Every single set-top box they sell, it's profit for you. So the key of the business here is to gain as many customers as you can. If you stop selling today, you still have all the backlog of investment that you have been doing and all the licenses coming from these customers. So you would still have a lot of revenue, but you win more customers, you increase your revenue. So that's the beauty of the business model. So how does it work? Basically, we designed and developed a multi-screen solution, a user experience solution that they can deploy in their field, in their set of boxes, in the customer tablets, in the customer iPhones, laptops, etc. They can choose one of two models. We are flexible here. They want to buy a license for the box forever. We call it the CapEx model. Basically, they buy the license, they can use it as much as they want. They go to this model. This is quite likely to be used, to be selected by the very large customers. They don't want to have a recurrent revenue there. So what's the good thing for them and the bad thing for them? The good thing is that they pay for it and they don't need to pay anymore for this license. The bad thing is that if they want any update in the software, they need to pay for the upgrade. You know, it's like the old Windows model. You buy the license for the operating system. You are in Windows 98 and you want to go to Windows 2000 and you want to go to Windows 7. The market for the software is going actually to the right direction, to the software as a service model. We call it OPEX model, but it's software as a service model in which you are actually renting a license. So all the customers since Televisa actually went to the OPEX model. That means a monthly revenue per user. They end up paying more. They have a lower setup fee, but for us it's good and for them it's good because it's more linked to the revenue model they have. They have a subscribers that is paying them a fee per month for the service, and they pay us a bit. They pay the content supplier a bit, etc. So once we have done that, there are recurring revenues also for the support and maintenance. Usually for a customer is like 15% of the initial setup fees, what they pay yearly for the support and maintenance. And every operator, every customer, is also recurrently asking for upgrades on the software. It could be a license upgrade, or it could be just an ad hoc thing that they want us to do for them. So, as I said with Telefonica, usually you have a customer for 15 years and you start with like 40 or 20% of the revenues they had for the previous year on professional services. For the second year, third year, 20%, fourth year, 15% or 20%, and it goes on and on and on and on. So you still have a lot of professional services from very old legacy customers. So in terms of the sales activity, we don't go alone to this market because we have good partners and we work with this kind of good people. So these are names of people that we talk to daily or weekly. So we talk to Google, we talk to Netflix. Why Google? Why Netflix? Why these big names? Well, our solution may be tiny, but it's a very important solution for some customers. So if we are doing a deployment on an Android TV solution, Android TV is like Android for the mobiles, but for the TV. Google is investing a lot on that. So I can say that we are doing one of the flagship Android TV deployments in the world at the moment. We are a company that is quite advanced on that. So we talk to Google and they help us. We integrate Netflix in our solution, so we don't compete against Netflix. Netflix is able to run over our solution. You can choose Netflix icon and you jump to Netflix from our solution. So they need to integrate with us. And customers pay us for that, obviously. We have worldwide agreement for the distribution of our solution. Some of them are partners. Some of them sometimes are competitors in some things. For example, in the case of Huawei, our software runs over Huawei boxes, but Huawei also sells their own solutions. So sometimes you compete, sometimes you cooperate. This is quite useful in the digital TV market. To address all these markets, you need to go to the three main areas of the world. So there is a trade show in the Americas, a trade show in Asia, and a trade show in Europe. Every year, all customers and suppliers are gathering around and having meetings. So in each of these events, I would say that about 50% of the meetings you make are with partners to talk about the business, to talk about the next deployment, how to address some problems that they are facing or you are facing. About 30-35% of the meetings are prospects with customers, and the rest of that is basically useless. Okay, but you need to go for this 35% of the business, and you gain opportunities like SkyTel in Mongolia. They came through one meeting that we did in the IBC in Amsterdam a year and a half ago. Usually the lead time for this business is quite long, and it is because it's quite relevant for our customers. This is a key business for them. Investing on a digital TV solution is not something they should take lightly. Why is that? Well, if you are providing a broadband solution for the market, if you are basically a broadband supplier, fiber supplier, you don't really have any difference from any other broadband supplier. Perhaps the speed, perhaps the reliability of the service, but it's not sticky. You can change tomorrow and get megabytes from any other supplier. But if you have a TV service, basically the service is remembering your preferences. Every time you come, you have your shows that you have been storing. So it creates a link, a bound with the pay TV player, with the telco, that is probably the highest bound that they can have in any other service. So apart from the mobile phone number, and now the mobile phone number is portable, so there is not really anything like that in terms of having some stickiness, having retention of customers. So it usually takes them 12 months, 18 months to make a solution, to make a decision on the solution, sorry. So you start talking to them, and 1 year later, you sign a deal, or 18 months later, you sign a deal. So in terms of prospects, you have a lot of prospects in the pipeline. You are shortlisted in some of them, and some months later, you win a contract. Well, you can see the tipping point for us since we won Televisa, the AC Group. Okay, it has been growing like 50% every year since then. I think we are quite lucky in terms of acceptance of our solution, because I would say that in most of the potential deals, if not on all of them, we are shortlisted. It depends on how long it is the list, but we are always in the top five, and in most cases in the top two or top three. And sometimes you win, sometimes you lose, okay? So we have at this moment roughly 20 deals we are participating on, roughly, okay? This doesn't mean that you win 20 of them, because some of them come to nothing because they decide finally not to launch a solution. When you are shortlisted, means that they are actually in the process of a request for proposals, then they are accepting submissions of binding proposals. So in terms of binding proposals, we are more or less there. And in all of them, we are in the final stage. Okay, so I think it's quite relevant. This time last year, we were like in 10, 9, 10, 13, perhaps at the end of last year. Now we are nearly in the 20. So it's growing a lot. I can say without a doubt that we are at least in the top five in terms of the solution that we are providing in the world, without a doubt. Okay, so what about the financial growth? What about the numbers? Okay, I'm going to show you three slides: revenue, debt, and EBITDA. For the revenue, this is how it looks. Okay, we decided to split it in professional services, licenses, and other business. So you can see that the recurrent revenue is what is making us grow at more than double digit. Actually, growth last year was like 40%, from 8.8 million to 12.3 million. This is unaudited, but we are pretty certain about these numbers. We are now finishing the audit process. Our year end is 31st March, by the way. Okay, so we were able to grow at 40% last year, from 8.8 to 12.3. And you can see that we had a lot of work on the World Cup, like 2 million, but most of the growth actually, or the most relevant growth, is coming on the licenses part of the business. We have 100% margin on this. We have 20%, 15% margin on this, professional services, but most of the margin is here. Yeah, and obviously, we still invest a lot in research and development. Our yearly expenditure in research and development is roughly $3.5 to $4.0 million. This is the net debt. Our main investor is an ex-customer. He was a customer of us in Mexico. He owns roughly 87% of the company, but still wants this to be floated. Why did he do that? Basically, he was a customer. He sold his business in Mexico, and he made a lot of money, obviously. It's a cable company, so billions or hundreds of millions. And he decided to invest in technology. So far, I think that we are the only technology investment he has. So having a customer that decided to trust you to the point of investing his money on your company after ceasing to be your customer, for us, is a very, very good thing. He knows about the business. He helps us a lot. And he decided to invest. Last year, he thought that it was required to go through a restructuring of the balance sheet. We had a lot of debt, and the company was growing a lot, and we were winning new customers. So he decided to inject like roughly $10 million in the company to make the balance sheet look healthier. He did that initially putting money in a loan, and then he capitalized the loan. Now the net debt is $4.9 million. There was a big reduction in the net debt last year, and we expect this to continue reducing as we are producing cash flows. In terms of EBITDA, I'm happy to say that we turned black in this year. So the year ended 31st March. So this is the conservative view of we have, because obviously the accounts are still unaudited, but we expect to be north of that. And well, there is no provision for us to go back to red, because the company is growing at a very, very good level. The important thing here is the visibility we have on revenues year to year now is very high. So we can predict very easily how much money we are going to have in revenues for next year because of the backlog of contracts. So for us, it's easy. I cannot make a forward-looking statement here, but I can tell you that it's looking good. Just to summarize, why Mirada is a good investment, at least for me. Okay, we are a growth company in a growth market. We know this market is growing, and we are one of the top companies providing software in this market. In terms of what we do, we think that we are quite reliable. The technology is proven. We have more than 2 million boxes in the field. We have extremely good references, and customers are relying on us. And the most important thing for me is that we have the trust of them. They consider us partners. So it's a very, very long-term relationship with recurrent revenues. And this is the most important thing for us, that customers believe in us and that we are able to provide what they want.
Thank you, Jose.
It's a pleasure. Thank you very much.
PI World videos and podcasts are for general information and interest. They do not constitute any kind of recommendation or inducement to buy shares of any company. PI World is not offering any kind of financial advice, and nothing in our material should be taken as such.